At the 2012 Corn Utilization Technology Conference, I'm visiting with Charles Woloschuk.
Yeah.
And you're from Purdue University, and chair for one of our final sessions here on mycotoxin research. I guess, first of all, there are some people that may not know. Could you just give us a quick kind of definition of what is a mycotoxin, and it applies in to this corn area?
Yeah. So these are toxins that are toxic to animals and humans, and in this session, you know, in the past sessions, we've been dealing with just aflatoxins, and they asked that we look at some other toxins that are in corn. And so we're going to look at fumonisins, which are important toxin in corn, deoxynivalenol, or DON, vomitoxin, which is important. And we'll continue to look at the aflatoxin. But I think this group that we're looking at, that are going to talk, we're looking at the corn kernel and how it impacts toxin production. Okay.
And so when you look at these types of toxins, how big of an issue is this for the corn industry?
Oh, yeah, it's a big issue because a lot of the trade issues are if it goes overseas, is based on the level of toxin, all the contracts. Then there's issues with feeding. It's always been a problem. So just in Indiana, you know, in 2009, we had a big across the northern Midwest with a DON in corn is a big deal. We sporadically have a problem with aflatoxin in the Midwest, but certainly in the southern part. And fumonisins are always an issue across the Corn Belt, so for animal health and trade. So,
what's the regulatory environment like if you're growing corn, and especially, I mean, whether you're going into the food market or feed for animals?
Oh, well, yeah, that's and most of this is, you know, aflatoxin is kind of a legal thing, but most of the fumonisin and the DON is all based on contracts and levels, and the, you know, ethanol industry, they don't want toxin in their products because it's going to be in their DDGs. So, so the regulation of it is important. And typically, the way it is that when we find it, then we get concerned about it. But we can't predict it very well. Although, you know, we might predict something this year with the dry weather.
Yeah, I understand that these things, kind of like dry weather and maybe even a little bit of drought, too, to go along with that.
Well, the fumonisins and the aflatoxin like the dry weather. Now, the DON likes it cold and wet. So we've had that. That's what happened in 2001. I don't think we're going there this year, but we are going to have the dry and hot, looks like. So
what are some of the challenges to kind of controlling or maybe trying to overcome this if you're a corn grower today, wherever you might be for that matter?
Yeah, that's a difficult question, you know, and it's difficult because of the pressures to, you know, to plant corn after corn. And so we always like to say rotate. That's would be a way to get rid of the pathogen, but a lot of these things are there all the time. I think for DON, rotation is really good, but if we could, I think the best thing we're seeing is some of these corn lines that can tolerate stress. It seems to be the best we can do, and then hope for the weather to do well. You know, insect have an impact, so can we deal with the insects? So those are the important things that we try to tell people.
So a lot of the research is just kind of focused on what are ways that we can get ahead of this, prevent it from to start with through different, you know, either during the harvest or as we were just hearing, there's even some post-harvest ideas being worked on too.
Yeah, and I think that's an important way. The stuff we'll talk about today is, I think, to try to understand the kernel itself and what are the mold grows in the kernel, what are those critical factors that influence toxin production, and can we find changes or way once we understand it to do something. So it's kind of, you know, we can look at it afterwards, we can do things, but these folks here are going to talk about you know, understanding how does the kernel affect the mold, you know, and, mm-hmm. And can we find ways to target. So, you know, and maybe those are like, in the end, maybe GMOs, but through breeding too, because the third speaker is a breeder type, so.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing some information about this session on mycotoxin research. We are here at the 2012 CUTC, and I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.